language and the subject matter are very difficult for ordinary men. They are understood by the highly intelligent and self-realized Brahmanas. But the present age of Kali is full of ignorant men. Even those who are born by a Brahmana father are in the present age no better than the Shudra or the woman. The twice born men, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, are expected to undergo a cultural purificatory process known as samskaras. But because of the bad influence of the present age of the so-called members of the Brahmana and the higher order families are no longer highly cultured. They are called the Dvija Bandhus, or the friend and family members of the twice born. But these Dvija Bandhus are classified among the Shudras and the women. Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches for the sake of the less intelligent classes like the Dvija Bandhus, Shudras and women. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamahyam Datati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, in the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is concluded that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. After presenting various incarnations of the Supreme Lord, which are, some of them are direct expansions, some are plenary portions, and some are empowered incarnations or Shaktyavesh avatars. So here, in this verse, 21st verse, the 17th incarnation is mentioned, and that is Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva is an empowered incarnation of Krishna. He is Shakti Avesh. Shakti means the energy, the power. And that power has been given to a particular jiva so that he can act representing the Supreme Lord Himself. Now, here it is mentioned, Srila Vyasadeva was born from Parashara and mother Satyavati. So, we understand from our Vaishnava philosophy that the Lord can appear in this world and the Lord can have a father and a mother. So, if we look back into the history, if we try to see who is Satyavati, if we try to see who is Parashara, Parashara, we know he is father of Vyasadeva, that's how we know. And also we know the famous verse which starts from Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasashriya, Jnana, Vairagyoshchaiva, Shannam, Bhaga, Idingana. This is a very famous verse. And this verse says that which are the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are known as Bhaga or opulence. So it is mentioned in first canto. The Lord is always with opulences. Bhagavan Bhagena means Bhagavan is always with different opulences. And primarily these opulences are classified into six. And that is Aishwaryasya. You know, he is the most famous. He is the emblem of renunciation. He is the source of all beauty. He is the source of all power. He is most knowledgeable. He is the most intelligent. Like that, the whole opulences which we can think of, that is classified by Parashara Muni into six categories. And the Supreme Lord or Bhagavan possesses all these to the fullest extent. Now, Parashara Muni is also known for his authority on Vedas, his understanding of Vedas. Now, if you see, there are so many astrologers, correct? So many astrologers. And the basis of all this astrology is known as a shastra known as Hora Shastra. So that is the basis of all astrology. And this Hora Shastra was written by Parashara himself. So he is the source of all astrology. If you see all Vedic astrology, the father of all Vedic astrology is Parashara Muni. In the sense, he has written down the Hora Shastra. So Parashara Muni is a great personality, and one day he was crossing a river, and incidentally we could see that one who was actually the boatman, actually not a boatman, a boatwoman who was actually carrying Parashara Muni across the river was Satyavati. So Satyavati, by birth, she is a daughter of a fisherman. And she happened to take Parashara Muni across the river. And Parashara Muni, he was a great saint and he knows astrology, and he knew this was a very, very opportune moment. This was a very auspicious period of time. And at this point, if I beget a child, then a great personality would appear in this earth. So he understood that. So he, while she was crossing Parashara Muni, Parashara Muni revealed his mind to Mother Satyavati. And Parashara Muni was a great saint, and Satyavati was a simple lady, and she was too shy. He said, this is a public place, and you know, how, even though you are such a great saint, how is it possible to have a union at this place? So she was shy, and understanding her position, Parashara Muni created a dvipa, an island. And he created a fortress across this dvipa, and they had a union, and due to that, Vyasadeva was born. So one time, some of the disciples or some of the guests were asking Srila Prabhupada, so apparently it looks like Parashara Muni, you know, he was affected by the beauty of Satyavati and he begot a child. So, is this very cultured activity? That is, somebody got attracted to someone and just had a union and begot a child. So we can say, in Kali Yuga, that is the most happening thing. That is, this looks like, apparently looks like a Kali Yuga activity. Srila Prabhupada said, no. He was not just affected by lust. And the proof is that a great personality was descended from the spiritual world. So if one could actually bring somebody from spiritual world of the caliber of Vyasadeva, okay, then such an action is acceptable. And since it is not possible, only low quality men, as it is mentioned here, those who are equivalent to animals or less than animals are being produced in this age of Kali, so such an action is forbidden. And so, very strictly, there is the institution of marriage to restrict, to avoid such upbringing, to bring the souls which are demoniac by nature. And also, to support that, there are various samskaras. Now, Due to this reason, since Vyasadeva was born in an island, the Dvipa, the Sanskrit for island is Dvipa. So his name is Krishna Dvaipayan. So that Dvaipayan is coming from the word Dvipa. Now, if you see the activities of Vyasadeva himself, Vyasadeva himself was such a Vedic scholar that he could actually divide a single Veda into many branches and sub-branches. Now, if you look into the term Vyas, what does Vyas mean? So, Vyas is an interesting term. In one sense, Vyas is a position. It's not a name, rather it is a position. Say, for instance, we can say professor is a position. It's not a name. Anyone can accept the position of a professor if he is qualified. Similarly, there could be associate professor, there could be lecturer. These are positions, and one who is qualified can accept such a position. In the same way, the term Vyas is also a position. And what does Vyas mean? Literally, if you take a circle, and if you divide a circle into two, or we can divide a circle into four, using Vyas. That is the diameter. You know, if you draw a line from one end of the circle to the other end, through the center, then that is called Vyas. So in other words, through Vyas, we could divide the circle into many sections. Correct? In the same way, since the duty of Vyas, or one who accepts the position of Vyas, is to divide the entire Vedic knowledge into different portions, to different branches and to sub-branches. So, Krishna Dvaipayan is known as Vyasadeva. So he is an empowered incarnation to divide the whole Vedic knowledge into different sections. And of course, there is a reason behind that. And as we know, originally Veda was only one. And it was divided primarily into four, that are Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva Vedas. So after this division, it was further divided. And he actually appointed different professors, qualified disciples, to take charge of different branches, so that they can master these different branches and they can actually propagate further through disciplic succession. So this is the way Vedic knowledge was disseminated from the Supreme Lord and through Vyasadeva and his disciples. Now, if you try to see, in Kali Yuga, we are far away from this Vedic literature. We are far away from Vedic knowledge. It's very interesting to see that, first of all, people don't have faith in Vedic knowledge. And those who have some interest in Vedic knowledge, many of the Indologists who study about India, and for them it is quite interesting to study about Vedas. Interesting enough, many of the Indologists, they have never visited India, nor do they have any sufficient knowledge about Vedas. And according to Vaishnavas, one Vaishnava devotee, he did a study to understand how much Veda is actually left now in this planet. Even though we talk about Vedas, it has come out to be 6 to 10% of the original Veda is actually left now. It is like Rig Veda is about 10,500 verses currently. Sama is less than that. Yajus is also less than that. Atharva is few hundred verses. Like that. So that is the only leftover Vedas. So this is one misconception, that the whole Veda is present at this point. It is not there as it is. The Vedic body as such, not there. Then, another misconception is that many of the Puranas as well as Upanishads are not part of Vedas. That is another misconception that is present. So it is, according to the current scholars, they accept only one Upanishad as part of Vedas, directly as part of Vedas. That is Sri Isha Upanishad. And it is very interesting that Srila Prabhupada wrote commentary to Sri Isha Upanishad due to the reason that according to the Shankarites, according to the Mayavadis, among the 108 principal Upanishads, they accept the prime one as Sri Isha Upanishad. So they explain their Advaita philosophy, the monist philosophy, primarily on based on Sri Isha Upanishad. And Srila Prabhupada, as well as many acharyas in our disciplic succession, has written strong commentaries establishing personalism based on Sri Isha Upanishad. So, according to the modern scholars, only Sri Isha Upanishad is accepted as directly part of Vedas, and that comes in the end of Yajurveda. And rest of the Upanishad they don't accept. They say it is different. It's written by different people. Now, how about Puranas? Puranas are not even in the list. They don't even accept it as part of Puranas. And even though people accept Puranas, they consider it as second class. First is Shruti, and Smriti is secondary or low class. What does that mean? Shruti is that which is directly heard from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, and Smriti, that is something which is by the mercy of the sages. Say, Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord Himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken about the Supreme Lord by the great sages. Actually speaking, there is no difference. One time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture, and he was making more quotations from Puranas, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, than Vedas and Upanishads. So few scholars present in that assembly, they said, your lecture was very good, but at the same time, it was not so scholarly because you haven't mentioned any enough quotations from Upanishads. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he retaliated. He said, no. In fact, many things are hidden in Upanishads and many things are hidden in Vedas. However, these principles are very well established and explained and elaborated in Puranas. So in that sense, Puranas are even greater than Upanishads. So, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the term Purana, even though usually Purana means something which is old. However, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Purana comes from the word Purnayate iti Purana. Purnayate means that which completes. That which completes. Why? He gives an analogy to establish this point. Suppose if we have a gold chain and if it is broken, few links are missing of the golden chain, then how can we actually complete that chain? Still we need some gold links to complete that chain. We cannot use brass, we cannot use copper, then it looks imperfect. So he says, whatever is not fully explained or whatever is hidden in Upanishads and Vedas are being completely explained in Puranas, and that too in Amala Purana, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So according to Vaishnava Acharyas, if you want to understand the Supreme Truth, one has to go through Puranas. Because it is very clearly mentioned. So it is Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Yat Vaishnavanam Priyam. So it is very dear to Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. So Srila Vyasadev understood the position of people in the age of Kali. And so, he actually divided the Vedas and he established a system through which this knowledge can be passed down to the people in the age of Kali. Now, if we again look into Vedas, there is a very interesting question could be arised if we look into Vedas. This is discussed in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedas are written in Sanskrit primarily. If you consider the language, it is Sanskrit. And the Vedic mantras could be written, we can write in English, we have the nice diacritics, you know, make it in a Romanized Sanskrit. We can write in many languages, this Vedas, right? Bhagavatam we can write in any languages. And these words are apparently very common words, right? So it looks apparently material, right? And if we talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is beyond any material qualities. He is beyond anything that which can be described by material words. He is beyond material words. Correct? He is beyond material alphabets. Correct? And if you take any language of this world, these are all material. So, the question arises, how can we understand about the Supreme Absolute Truth through a language which is material? This is a question by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami. He asks, apparently Vedic text seems to be consisting of material words and it is consisting of material alphabets. So how could that can describe the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Nirguna, which is beyond material qualities? So this is an apparent contradiction. That is, through material things, how can we establish something which is not material? So to answer to this, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains, he also gives very indirect answer. He doesn't give a direct answer. He answers in this way. He says, the Supreme Lord, by His mercy, has created false ego, material intelligence, material mind, and material senses, through which they can perform fruitive activities and they can enjoy materially in this world. So this is the answer given by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So this answer has apparently nothing to do with the question. So even though it looks the answer, but it's not the answer. It doesn't look the answer, but it is the answer. So the point is, if you want to try to understand this, we can just think about this point. We usually speak about pratyaksha, anumana and shabda. Right? Pratyaksha means that which we can understand by direct perception. Correct? So there are many things we can understand by direct perception. I can read, that is direct perception. I can identify different people, that is direct perception. But we do say that it is limited. Because we say, okay, we can see people nearby me, but 10 kilometers away we can't see. So the senses are imperfect. So we reject pratyaksha in terms of understanding the absolute truth. To understand Krishna, we say, no, pratyaksha is not sufficient. Because of our imperfection of our senses. Fine. So it means we are rejecting our perception of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, etc. Then we come to the platform of anuman, or understanding through the mind, by inference, by logic. Then we say, okay, our mind is also limited. So we cannot understand the absolute by the process of speculation, by the process of the mind. Then we do accept shabda. Shabda means hearing from the authority, one who knows. So at this point, we had to be very careful. So I'll give you an example. Say for instance, if you want to know something about this mic, okay, we can analyze, we can see, we can take different parts. Maybe we can understand the function of this mic. But who has created this mic? Who is the person who actually invented this mic, we cannot understand by pratyaksha or anuman. Even if we analyze this very, very nicely with a microscope or with our eyes or with every possible analysis, or if we think deeply, still we cannot understand anything about one who has created this. You cannot understand about his personal life. You cannot tell how he looks, because that is beyond pratyaksha and anuman. It is beyond direct sense perception and logical thinking. Now, still one can understand by hearing from an authority, meaning hearing from a person who has seen these things. Then we can directly understand. Now, the crux of this point is that even though we reject pratyaksha, means even though we reject sense perception, still we are hearing from an authority. You understand the point? Still we are hearing from an authority. Still we are using our senses. Still we are using our mind. Still we are using our intelligence. So even though we are hearing from an authority, still we are using our limited senses. Still we are using our limited mind. And still we are using our limited intelligence. which are apparently material. So, the point is, even if we have to understand about Krishna, still we have to use the facilities which are provided to us. So, the Vedic knowledge, even though apparently it is consisting of material language, it can give the spiritual knowledge because the Lord has invested the spiritual potencies within the Vedic sound so that through our material intelligence, through our material mind, through our material senses, we can understand. How? It is not just through this material mind, intelligence and senses, but the Vedic sound can purify these senses, mind and intelligence. It can actually spiritualize. Then we understand about Krishna. So that is the reason it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavan nascami tattvataha. So through devotion, when we actually spiritualize our senses, mind and intelligence, then Krishna reveals himself to us. So in one sense, we are not actually rejecting our senses. We are not rejecting our mind. We are not rejecting our intelligence. Rather, we are actually spiritualizing the whole thing so that we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that Vedic knowledge was presented by Srila Vyasadeva. Now, in this age of Kali, people are obviously less qualified. So it is mentioned, Drishtva Pumsolpa Medhasa, Alpa Medhasa. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself uses this term, Alpa Medhasa. Less intelligent. Less intelligent people approach demigods, it's mentioned. Less intelligent people, they can only see temporary things. They cannot see things which are far beyond them. They cannot foresee things. That is a sign of less intelligence. So they can see only one lifetime. They cannot see there are multiple lifetimes. They cannot see the functions of karma. They cannot see what are the causes of suffering. So, the less intelligent people of this age do engage in sinful activities and they consider sinful activities as the prime source of enjoyment. And to cut that, to take people from such enjoyment propensity, the Vedic knowledge is important. Now, here it is mentioned this Vedic knowledge is just like a desire tree. Because Vedic knowledge can provide sense gratification through the pious means, even though that is not the ultimate purpose, but through the Vedic knowledge one can obtain material enjoyment. Through Vedic knowledge one can obtain impersonal liberation, and ultimately one can know about Krishna, which is the actual purpose of Veda. So it is mentioned, Vedaischa sarve aham eva vedyam. Through Veda only I am to be known. And in this Vedic tree, there are branches and sub-branches of which the ripened fruit, as we know, is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives the direct descriptions about Krishna himself, along with his associates, and the pastimes of Krishna with his devotees. So that is, it is considered the most nectarian fruit of the whole Vedic tree. And this Vedic knowledge is imparted through samskaras. So there are different samskaras. Starting from garbhadhana, you know, the process of begetting a child. And after the child is born, there are different samskaras one has to undergo. And then one is called a brahmana. So if these samskaras are missing, people are known as dvija bandhu, not a dvija. Only a dvija bandhu. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a high court judge. A high court judge is a position and it is obtained by qualification. Just being the son of a high court judge, one doesn't become high court judge. He just becomes the son of a high court judge. In the same way, as it is mentioned here, just being the son of a brahmana, one becomes dvija bandhu, not a dvija. So it is mentioned, Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth everyone is a Shudra. Samskarad Bhavet Vipra. Sorry. Samskarad Bhavet Dvija. Veda Padhat Bhavet Vipraha Brahma Janati Idi Brahmana. So there are qualifications. It is not just by birth. even though people think it is just by birth. As Chaturvarnyam Maya Sishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Guna and Karma are the qualification of different classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. It's not nothing else. However, when it comes to the spiritual knowledge, there is the spiritual initiation apart from just the normal initiation where a Brahmana, maybe at the age of 5 or 6, is given an initiation just to start studying Vedas. That initiation is there and that is known as Upanayana, where one gets a thread. Higher than that is the spiritual initiation, which is known as Vaishnava initiation. That is a prime source for Vedic understanding. That is a prime process in which the Guru is actually giving this knowledge into the heart of a disciple, or officially allowing a disciple to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is the significance of initiation, the process of initiation, or Diksha, Vaishnava Diksha. So this Vaishnava Diksha is so important that one's spiritual life is primarily dependent on this Vaishnava Diksha. So one gets mantra, one gets the name in our sampradaya. One gets a name, a spiritual name, establishing our connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also one gets the Vaishnava mantra. That is, for us it is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the time of initiation, the spiritual master is giving this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the disciple is supposed to receive it through heart. It is mentioned one time, my spiritual master was mentioning that one can be get initiated in terms of the heart even before initiation, or at the time of initiation, after the initiation, or never. So the actual initiation can happen before the ceremony of initiation. It can happen at the time of initiation. It can happen after the initiation, and it may never happen. So that initiation is nothing but taking the instructions of the spiritual master completely into the heart and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with that consciousness. So that is the real initiation. So we can see in terms of Srila Prabhupada, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada mentioned that was the only time he got defeated in any argument. Prabhupada mentioned he was never defeated in any argument but one time. That was in front of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta. So at that point, he got defeated because Srila Prabhupada mentioned, how can I spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya when India is a dependent country, when India is under the subjugation of British? So Bhaktisiddhanta said, this transcendental knowledge is beyond any kind of material social circumstances. So Prabhupada said that was a complete defeat. He completely accepted. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada could understand this is a saintly person. He established that link. Even though officially he got initiated, I think, after 11 years or so. So this is the point of initiation. That is, one has to link to the spiritual master through heart. And this principle is shown in Shastra even at the time of appearance of Krishna also. Vasudev, the Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev. And when the Supreme Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev, he actually transferred, or he initiated the Lord into the heart of Devaki. So it is mentioned that this is the actual principle of initiation as established by Vasudev to their mother Devaki. So he actually gave Krishna from his heart to the heart of Devaki. So this is the principle. So Prabhupada mentions here, it is a process of heart, not just theoretical, nor it is a fashion. Then when one receives such an initiation, it is mentioned that even the spiritual master has the capacity to take away the karma of a disciple. He can just take away the karma. It doesn't mean that the spiritual master takes away all karma, in the sense, to the extent that if one loses all the karma, then what happens? What is karma? Prabhupada gave a very nice example regarding karma. He mentioned that if you go in front of a mirror and if you see your image, okay, then understand that you have karma. You are born in karma because the material body is an indication of karma. Material body means karma. So if once karma is completely taken away, means one cannot have a material body. And even one cannot have a subtle mind. Correct? Because that is also a product of karma. Because through karma, through our activities, we are creating so many impressions in the mind. So, he doesn't actually take away all these facilities, the body or the mind. Rather, he actually instructs to utilize these facilities in service of Krishna. So that is the point. Even when we talked about the Pratyaksha Anuman, even though apparently the language is material, our mind could be material, our intelligence could be material, still this can be transformed into the spiritual realm. It can be spiritualized. Then it can be utilized completely in service of Krishna. So this is the principle. So devotees who have taken initiation has to be very careful that one has actually obtained the mercy of the Lord. And one has to make sure one do not commit any sinful activities, the stoppage of all sinful activities, and one is thoroughly established in devotional service by means of sadhana bhakti. One has to make sure one is doing that. Otherwise, one is not serving the spiritual master. It is mentioned out of since it is a responsible position, even a spiritual master accepts some karma if a person initiated is committing some sinful activity. A portion of karma is accepted by the spiritual master. So this is such a heavy position. So understanding this position of the spiritual master, a disciple should never commit sinful activities. One should never commit sinful activities. One has to be very responsible in that relationship. And through that, in due course of time, Vedic knowledge will be revealed in the heart. It's not by the process of theoretical study that one can actually understand the Vedic knowledge. As it is mentioned, Yasya Deve Para Bhakti, Tatha Deve, Tatha Vede, Taro Guru. So it is like, by full faith in the spiritual master and the revealed scripture, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the Vedas are actually revealed into the heart of a disciple. So a disciple, he may do his regular reading. It doesn't mean that one doesn't have to do one's regular reading. One has to definitely do study of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada himself pointed out that if somebody regularly doesn't read my books, then he will fall down. This is a statement of Srila Prabhupada. So we had to be very cautious regarding studying Srila Prabhupada's books. But at the same time, we had to understand, it is not just by reading I am understanding this. It is a mixture of reading and also service. So when we perform service in conjunction with reading and sadhana, naturally the knowledge will become revealed in our heart. Then we try to understand things. So it's an interesting point that sometimes some points we may not understand in Shastra. We may have read, we may have theoretically understood, but we may have not really understood it. We may not have really realized it. It can take ages. It can take many years. Then suddenly, one day it clicks. Oh yeah, it was like that. And not necessary that we understand that point, you know, while reading. No. You know, sometimes, you know, when I was doing Gunticha, at some point, you know, it just clicks. We are serving the Lord, sometimes clicks. Sometimes dancing in the kirtan strikes some points. Oh, this verse is like this. This verse is after this. Oh, this is amazing. Just dancing in the kirtan, I was thinking, oh yeah, that's really nice. So, it's nothing to do with exactly, you know, the time of reading. Oh, this is our reading time, so I'm going to understand everything now. No. It can come at any point of time. But we have to tune our mind so that we are thinking about Krishna, we are thinking about devotional service. If mind shouldn't be completely in Maya, externally a nice devotee, nice ironed cloth, and you know, nice tilak, straight tilak, but internally something else. So one should try to control the mind. So controlling the mind means not identifying with the mind. It's a very important point in controlling the mind. So if some thoughts comes in our mind, we always say, we are not the body, we are not the mind. We again and again say, we are not the body, we are not the mind. But we very naturally identify with our mind. It means, if some thought comes in our mind, we think we are that thought. And we are completely part of that thought. That is identifying with that thought. That is identifying with that mind. And we then, after identifying with the mind, then we want to act based on those thoughts. So Veda says, no, one should be established in spiritual intelligence, which is coming from Shastra. So one has to discriminate, and then one has to see whether it is useful or not. Then one can act. So if we do not discriminate, then one is not coming to the human platform, still in animalistic consciousness. So one should come to the human platform by spiritual intelligence and not identify with the mind. Then it's a mind becomes peaceful actually. So one point it is mentioned in terms of controlling the mind is neglecting the mind. And neglecting the mind is not just, you know, I don't care, just like that, but being busy in devotional service so that mind is automatically neglected. If you don't do anything, if you are lazy, just sitting around and think, okay, I will neglect the mind, mind will never get neglected. It will come back to us, even with more force, along with the more and more impetus from the senses. So the point is, one has to be busy in devotional service. Then mind is automatically neglected, and naturally the Vedic knowledge will be revealed into the heart of a spiritual practitioner. It's 9 o'clock, okay. Stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Corrections? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. 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 It is not. Yeah, sure. The question is, there are, we can classify Puranas 6 in Sattvic, 6 in Rajasic, 6 in Tamasic. And in which, among the Puranas, Vaishnava Puranas, he mentioned, mainly the Sattvic Puranas, generally we do quote from Bhagavad Purana and also from Padma Purana. Why we not quote from other Puranas like Vishnu Purana or whatever? The point is, we do quote from other Puranas whatever is necessary. For example, Vishnu Purana is quoted, you know, Vishnu Bhakti Paraprokta Kshetra Kshetra Gyokya Evacha. I think it's from Vishnu Purana, or there are different verses from Vishnu Purana is being quoted. Padma Purana is even more widely quoted. And also, even Skanda Purana is quoted. You know, there are different Puranas are quoted, but these quotations are made very selectively and very cautiously. So, for instance, we don't just go about and study all these different kinds of Puranas. We do not do that. Point number one, we don't have enough time, and we don't have sufficient time to study Srila Prabhupada's books. That is one reason. Second, one can get confused by seeing different contradictory statements within Purana. So that job has already been done by Acharyas. So if you see Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we can see quotations from different Puranas, including Skanda Purana. Many Puranas are being quoted. Even Kurma Purana, many Puranas are quoted. So it's a fact, many Puranas are quoted. But selectively, such that we do establish that devotional service is the highest process and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for that sake, whatever is necessary from different Puranas, that is already been taken out from Acharyas and it is being already quoted. So there are different Puranas quoted other than Padma Purana. here. First process being receptive to transcendental knowledge is by attentive and sincere chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because that is the primary cleansing agent, the cleansing process. So without proper chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we cannot become really a good recipient of transcendental knowledge. So that's the reason the initiation we are getting the mantra, because mantra can give all transcendental knowledge and can take us back home, back to Godhead. It's the primary process. Then based on that, based on this understanding, one can act to please the spiritual master. So when we act to please the spiritual master, naturally we get the blessings of the spiritual master. Often we have the tendency, I also do, we ask devotees, Prabhu, please give me blessings. Oh, it's nice to ask. You know, we go around and ask, please give me blessings, please give me blessings. It's good. It is very nice to understand our position, that we are dependent on mercy, we are dependent on blessings of other devotees. At the same time, if we act in a proper way, if we act in such a way to please the spiritual master and to please the devotees, then naturally we get the blessings. Because again, blessings, that is also not again words. It's a very interesting point. Blessings are also, we think, you know, it's just blessings are words and or action, you know. Yeah, blessings, my blessing, you know. It's not just words or action actually. It is also blessings are coming right from the heart. And when we say right from the heart, mean it is actually coming from the spirit soul himself. Because heart means, heart is a place where the spirit soul is present. And heart is the region the consciousness start emanating. So one actually gets blessings means one is from the heart, from deep within we are getting that blessing. So by getting blessings of the spiritual master, which is not necessarily the spiritual master saying all the time, I'm blessing you, no. But when we actually satisfy the spiritual master and when he becomes happy, then we become even more recipient of spiritual knowledge. So then we actually understand things. So we had to act. We had to do our chanting nicely and we had to act in such a way that we get the mercy. Then with that mercy, we get the understanding. So it's a two-way approach. Especially we can meditate on this point in this month of Damodar, because Damodar Leela 1, principle that is being established in Damodar Leela is that the endeavor of Mother Yashoda and mercy of Krishna. Krishna is Jita Jita. That is, by bhakti one can capture Krishna himself. As we read in Damodar Ashtagam, Bhaktir Jitattvam. One who is being captured by bhakta. But at the same time, there is the endeavor of the devotee and also Krishna's mercy is also there. So it's not that Krishna is agreeing himself to be captured by Mother Yashoda. Krishna is agreeing himself to be controlled by his devotee. Can you see? So that is his free will. That is his mercy. So in the same way, if we endeavor, then that can attract the mercy of the Lord. That can attract the mercy of the spiritual master. With that, we can actually become right recipient of Vedic knowledge. So, yeah. Thank you. Any further questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasya Madhagavatam ki.